You're listening to the I Can Relate podcast. I'm your host, Rebecca Miller. In this podcast, we talk to relatable and amazing people with real life struggles and joys, sharing the goodness of God. Each episode is designed to bring encouragement to your life. So make sure you subscribe today. Also, don't forget to give 5 stars and write a review so others can find this podcast and be blessed. Hey everyone, welcome back to the podcast. You're listening to episode 22, and today is with Anna Grace, and she's going to be talking about intentional love. And I'm very excited about this. She gives love so freely to so many people. She's so kind and gracious, and I love her perspective on this, and I know you're going to really enjoy it as well. And I know it'll be a blessing. I know a lot of times when I am recording the podcast, I'm concentrating a little bit more on asking questions and those kind of things. But when I go to edit the podcast, man, the Holy Spirit just really speaks to me. And I know that this episode will be no different when you listen to it. And so if you're listening for the first time, or this is your 10th time, thank you so much for joining me today. And I hope that you will be blessed by this episode. Anna, why don't you just get started and tell us a little bit about yourself, and just that way the people, the listeners, can know who you are and kind of where you're from and how long you've been married and just all that kind of good background stuff.
Sure. Sorry. I was swallowing some water. I was just keeping things
That's
real.
Right.
So my name is Anna Grace. Becky, I guess we crossed paths for just a real brief time. I feel we've spent more time getting to know each other online and over the phone than we got to as much in person. But let's see, what did you ask? I've been married 4 years. We have a baby girl. She's about to be a year old.
Just recently took a trip to Africa.
That's right.
What part of Africa?
It was West Africa, the Ivory Coast. So that's a region that was populated by France. They had a civil war about 12 years back, if I'm thinking right. So it's French speaking, which is neat because my husband lived over in France a while. So we went in and he was fluent and I became functional by necessity. Nice. While we were there. And just kind of real quick, just going back to that word celebrate, I was thinking about it and I feel I almost need to say what I mean. Cause you know, celebrating could mean anything, right?
Sure.
And I was thinking celebrating to me, when I think about celebrating people, I think about loving them with intention. You can't celebrate, you know, someone on accident. And I would say the same thing about love. I don't think you can love someone on accident, at least not in a way that would point them to Christ. Kind of going into that. So a huge lesson, something that God really was teaching me on when we went and lived in Africa, this lesson came up for me. So we... kind of what you were saying, we went and we decided before we got married that we were going to save our money up and we were going to leave our jobs and kind of our lives behind in America. And we were going to go help a seminary that was there in Africa. And they were in this transition between a modular format and a semester format. So my husband taught there. He taught national pastors. And that was kind of a time in our lives, like this frozen time of learning. And I think we went with the expectation we are definitely going to learn a lot, but I think, there were parts of it we were really excited about. So we were saying to each other, even flying over, hey, our goal is we would do anything for the gospel. So if that means eating different food, we're going to be, you know, obviously speaking in a different language. We chose to live next to a kind of a little rural village there. And we just kept saying every choice we make, we want it to be something that points people to Christ. But during that time, I think at least I went, and there were things that I didn't expect. There were, after a couple months of kind of that day in, day out, the kind of when life became a little more ordinary, even in our lifestyle there, I started to feel kind of the pangs of this pressing on my soul of being without some things that I had not expected to be without. So two examples that come right off the top of my head, I think, are power and water. And it's funny because I remember sitting there in Africa and Googling Maslow's hierarchy, you know, his pyramid of needs. And I was like, I wonder what's on there, because it was sometime, you know, in one of these spaces when our power and our water was working. And right at the bottom there on the base of human need, it was sleep, water, and, you know, food. And I remember laughing a little bit, but with losing your power and water, this is what I wish someone had explained to me. But if you, in Africa, of course, you use your water to, you pour it in and flush the toilet, you take your shower, you scrub this caked dust off your hands and your feet. And so that's the first thing to go when your water shuts off. And sometimes water could shut off for days at a time, sometimes at the same time as power. And so you could be sitting there in a dark room, not able to do your work, not able to sleep because your fan won't plug in, and you're not sure if you can, if you're going to be rationing your water out for cooking and drinking. And I remember so many moments of sitting there and thinking, this is not what I signed up for. And I just think it was because this life of ministry, this thing that I'd said I was so excited about, and loving people and celebrating them and making these intentional choices to serve, suddenly it cost me more. So it wasn't that God had asked me to do more than I'd done in America, as far as ministry. But it was, you know, suddenly, I didn't sleep last night. I'm not sure when my next meal is. I had to walk 3 miles to the market, and I was bartering for vegetables and they just told me no. And now I have to drag my guitar down the road and I have to lead this woman's group, you know, this Bible study in a different language. And I'm not feeling it. I want to hide. I think what I didn't realize was that going without some of those basic needs made me a little more desperate. And I think feeling desperate, it made me want to preserve myself, and wanting to preserve myself made me love less intentionally. And I think that this is not a Christian's point of view, but this is the world's ideology would be, you preserve yourself, before you love others. So there was this conflict in my soul of what do I go without? And that's kind of a question I kind of want to ask together is, do we put conditions on love? Some of the hard questions I started having to ask myself in that place in Africa was, what did I mean before by loving people? Had I been loving people because I was able to feel comfortable at the same time because it cost me less? You know, that was kind of a hard one to swallow. Or if love was going to cost me, was I willing to do it? So that it was almost a little embarrassing. I didn't want to talk about it.
And I think that even though your situation is Africa and going to Africa and not having power and water, maybe for you, here in the States, you're listening. And there are some people that do listen overseas, by the way. I see my little stats and I'm like, oh, there are other people in like other countries that are listening. So that's really neat. But people in the States here, like when you said, what are some risks you had to take to love, right? What are some risks you have to take to love? And I think, what is it that we're willing, what are we willing to give up to really love someone and to, you know, what my question would be is, what does love look like to you? You know, what has God shown you that love looks like?
So I actually, just feeding off of what you just said, I think it is a heart condition. And I think it is so, I have to be so careful even bringing up Africa in this talk on, you know, the conditions we put on love, because everyone's battleground is so different. And I think that it's easy to make our relationship with God about what we do. And I think that talking about love. What does love actually look like? We're talking about a very vulnerable thing, you know, because it starts in the heart. And I think sometimes what we do could even be a distraction from what's going on in our heart. I know that has been true of me. And so for everyone, you're absolutely right that people sitting there saying, hey, now, wait a minute, I'm not going to Africa. And I just think that I want that to be so clear that me sitting there in Africa, it was not about Africa. This was me learning a lesson in my heart while I happened to be in Africa.
Yeah.
I think we have these contrasting ideas because there is when we read the Bible, there are situations where we see Jesus step away and rest. But then there's some really hard verses to read through about sacrifice and about what he's done. And I think that is where we're all at today, that no matter where our battleground is, no matter what we're learning, we are compelled through the love of Christ to love others. And it will look so different in all of our lives, and it will mean something different. And man, I mean, for me, I just feel, I was thinking it when you were talking earlier about, me celebrating people, I don't feel that I'm natural at that at all. I just feel like God has brought it up over and over my life because I'm so bad at it. It's like this returning lesson. Like, yeah, I see it coming a mile away and I'm like, oh no, not again, please, Lord. But I remember the verses, it's 2 Corinthians, and Paul is just talking to the church, chapter 5, verse 15, and he talks about Christ and says, he died for all that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. And it's just, to be honest, I might've looked at it 25 times before I lived there in Africa, but it became such a comfort because I thought, you know, that is what the gospel is hinged on. Christ died for us. And then we realize that was where his love took him. And we are compelled through that to look around and say, love cost Christ something. It did. So what does that mean in my life? If I'm going to celebrate people, if I'm going to love them intentionally, it may cost me something. And kind of asking ourselves those hard questions and saying, what does that mean for me today?
What fuels you to love?
I think that a common theme that has come up in my life actually has been complacency. When I was real little, I must've been about 8 years old. I walked into this library. I was in California and I walked into the science section. Never send your kid into the science section of a library when they're eight. And I picked this book off the shelf and it had this big eyeball, I remember, with like lights shooting out. And I turned to this chapter that was talking about sleep. And so it was talking about the actual science of what happens to our body when we go to sleep. And it said that your breathing gets sluggish and it slows down. And it talked about the brain waves, you know, getting slower. And it's that switch from the waves that your brain uses during the day to the waves your brain uses during the nighttime. And it said your body cools to a lower temperature, and that kind of creeped me out a little bit. But it actually said that a brain chemical, is released to your brain center, called GABA. Have you heard of this? I'd never heard of this before.
I don't think
so. This brain chemical is released and it sends signals to your body that paralyzes your limbs so that you can't act your dreams out. And so this is little 8-year-old Anna Grace. I read that and that terrified me. So I wouldn't sleep for ages after that. I'd lay there in bed and I would think, I can't go to sleep because I knew what was going to happen. And I think here's the truth, Becky. I think that to me, going to sleep was the closest thing I could think of to dying at the time. And what I really mean by that is going to sleep was the farthest thing I knew of at the time to being alive. And I think I live like that sometimes. I think we do. I think we have this sleepy way of living sometimes as Christians, and it's not intentional. It's this, mm-hmm. It's a lifestyle we adopt on accident. Because of this heart condition where maybe we are just, we're busy, we're tired. You know, in my case, I was hungry and I wanted the power to work. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah. It can be silly stuff or it can be, you know, difficult battles that people face in their lives. But I think, We have this default setting, and it's, for me, I think that is, that has been a huge theme in my life, is God calling me out of that. And I being in that and saying, you know, I know better. I have been loved by Christ better than this. I have been called to the freedom that is in his love. And I am willing for, I'm willing for love to cost me something because of the love that I have seen time and time again of Christ in my life. I think realizing the gospel and letting that sink into your heart, it at least for me, it gives me an itch. You know, I want to be living that, and I'm, it is not right with my conscience to not.
What is a, something that can keep us, from, what is like the number one thing that you think could keep us from loving and from being willing to take those risks, to say, okay, it's this is going to cost me something. What do you think keeps people from, or what kept you, from kind of, you know, taking those risks?
Sure.
Being willing to say, okay, I don't care what it costs to love.
Sure. Well, I think it's ourselves, Becky. I think that we have invisible, you know, conditions that we sometimes put on love and requirements. And a lot of times I think, at least in my case, I think it ties back to myself, that my measurement is not what would point this person in my life to the gospel, but it's what makes me feel safe and comfortable and preserved. Yeah. And it's, I think
that's truth absolutely right there. What was that?
Oh, I just said, I think that would be it for me.
Yeah. I think that's absolutely true. I think that a lot of times, you know, we get in our own way, and we, you know, God is trying to do something in us, and instead of realizing what he is doing in us, we kind of, we buck it and we fight it because we think we know better. And we, instead of letting God just kind of chisel out the things that, you know, wouldn't be good, you know, for ourselves or even to share with someone, a part of our life, we just continue to fight it. And, I think it is, a lot of it is, you know, trust and faith in Christ. And I think, you know, we had talked about fear before. Fear is something, fear to be willing to take those risks, to love and to do what God has called you to do. What was an incident in your life that you can think of that, you know, kept you wrestling with God?
You know, I'm just kind of this like stubborn mule-headed person. Mm-hmm. And so I think God in his infinite wisdom knows that it's never enough to kick me down once. So, I mean, when I think of the struggle as far as, you know, learning, even just kind of isolating it to the learning in Africa, I would say it took the whole time that I lived there. I think it was a day by day thing, filled with incidents. I mean, I'm thinking one story off the top of my head. I think I shared this with you one time, but I remember not sleeping. Our power had been off. And so we were just sweaty and dirty in our beds, and we just laid awake all night. And then first thing in the morning, my husband goes off to teach at the seminary, and I'm sitting there and I'm lying on the tile floor to stay cold. And I'm in, you know, my gym clothes, and I get this knock on the door, and I go and I answer it. And I didn't know who she was. I'd never met her before, but I was trying to catch all the French, and she was telling me, that she'd seen me carry a box of breakfast food to a family the week before. And so I was like, oh, where were you? You're watching out your window, you know? So first of all, I was a little bit scared. I was like, I guess this is okay. And she asked me, do you have any bread in your house? And you know, Abe and I had just, we started just assuming, you know, halfway through the year, we're like, we're just going to assume we don't know what's going on here. Ask lots of questions, kind of go with the flow, because so many confusing things happen. But I was stumped by that. And so I told her, I was like, well, wait here. And I knew, you know, you culturally, you sit down, you give a cold cup of water, you ask what the news is. And, And so she told me there was no news, and she told me, no, I don't want your water. And so I went and I scored through the hustle. We just hadn't been to the market in a while. You know, you go almost every day there because food spoils. And we had like some peanuts, and we, you know, so I brought her out what we had, and she was a little bit miffed. And I remember crying when she left. So we sat there awkwardly, and she said, there's no bread in your whole house. And I was like, no, there's no bread in my whole house. And, and she left. And this just shows you who I went and I took her bread later, 'cause I felt so bad about it. I was like, oh, that was so awkward. So I found like a friend of a friend. But it was just this experience of, you know, that you didn't especially get a conclusion on it or a reward or an understanding. And I think there were things like that where, I was like, you know, she knows the church we go to here in Africa. She knows what we're about, why we're here. And so everything you do is in the name of Christ, right? If you, if I give this girl bread, she knows, this is because she's a Christian. And so I think there was this weight, but I mean, I'm saying all that to say there were things like that happened throughout the year where I kind of bucked against it. I was like, Lord, I'm tired. I don't want to talk to a stranger in French. And you know, I think because I'm so stubborn, I just felt like I had a lot of those lessons over and over where, I kept, the way I described it to my husband, Abe, was Abe, it's like, I have like my heart is a muscle, right? But spiritually I feel like my heart is being stretched out and I've just got this constant heart sprain. And he'd, you know, laugh at me. But I was like, it's like, I haven't used this specific muscle in my heart before. And I just needed to feel a little bit of that pain, you know, feel a little bit of that strain through the year and gradually let God do what I could not, which was, stretch out my heart, be open to more people, make the gospel the goal instead of my
True love is what Jesus did for us, you know, loving us without anything in return. And, you know, he gave his whole life and, you know, died for our sins. And you know, what do? We sin.
Yes.
We disappoint him. We dishonor him, with the things that we say, you know, or the things that we do. And so yet Jesus continues to give that unconditional love to us, no matter what we do, no matter what we say, no matter, you know, if we turn our back on him, his love is constant and still there. Anna, share with me on what for you has been more of a reward, in your life. The return has been more of a reward in your life.
Well, Becky, I would say, for me, learning to love people God's way, frees me from the conditions I put on people. I think loving people God's way, is freedom to me.
That's good.
I think we look in my selfishness, I would say, of course I wouldn't, you know, it doesn't make sense to love people, right? If we're going to take a step back, why would you give up something or be uncomfortable or let something cost you? That doesn't make sense. But I believe, you know, I the people that I know in my life who really love people, God's way, it's freedom. It is, you will live a life that is satisfying. You will live a life that is fulfilled. And you will live a life that it's free. And I think that's such a big thing that, we can let go of the conditions that we put on people. And when we're able to do that, it's like nothing can touch you, right? I mean, you're able to love freely. You're able to accept love freely, and God is able to use you. And I think that is the most fulfilling thing. For me, I believe for a child of God to be, used by God, you know, to point people back to the gospel. I think, that has been an encouraging thing to see. And, you know, and I'm not speaking as an expert. I'm speaking as I have seen this in the lives of others. And I've seen God working that out in my own heart. I think that choice, the people who make that choice, like the way you said it, to yield, I think you see it on their faces. You want it. It is the type of thing that sort of takes over a person, and it's just this warmth and this peace, and it doesn't come from anything else. You can't get that from, you know, Facebook likes and a great meal and a good income. It doesn't come from something the world offers. And I think that makes it even cooler, you know, because that's people looking in and saying, that doesn't make sense. So what is that? Why does that person love people that way? That doesn't make sense. Or why is that person in that circumstance or facing that battle and able to bear the cost the way that they do? And I think it is only through Christ and kind of what we were talking about, the freedom that brings.
Yeah. I love that we ended on, you know, the freedom that we have in Christ, you know, when we just choose to kind of say, I yield to you, Lord, whatever you want. And absolutely, I will love the way you would want me to love. And even if that means that it's going to cost me this, I'm going to trust and believe in faith that you got some amazing things in store. And mm-hmm. I'm just going to continue to love and do what I know is right to do. If you want to follow Anna, I'm going to let her take a moment to share her Instagram pages.
Sure.
You have an Instagram page. You have a Facebook page as well. Just tell us where we can find you.
Sure. I'm just Anna Grace Miller on Facebook, and my Instagram is Anna Grace from Africa.
That should be hopefully easy to remember since we've been talking about Africa.
I know. Oh man. Don't go back too far and judge my process of learning over there overseas.
Oh no, you're awesome. And Anna is a blessing, and she really truly does celebrate people, and just her spirit is just such a sweet spirit. And I just love that about you, Anna. And you sharpen, as I told you before, you sharpen my iron. And I think that you're an inspiration to me. And I know you will be to the people listening on the podcast. And if you give her a follow, I know she will inspire you always. You know, I always tell people we need awesome things on our news feed. Negative news. We need positive. Right. And so, and so Anna's very positive. You will love her feed. And she's very real. And so thank you again, Anna, for being on the podcast.
Thank you, Becky. Appreciate being here.
Well, that's a wrap for today's episode. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. I hope that you will share this with a friend. Also, if you can give me 5 stars and write a review, this will help others to find the podcast and be encouraged as well. Have a great week, and I'll talk to you next time on the I Can Relate podcast.